Muslim as well as Hindu, affirm that freedom of religion is very important to them. In this respect, one may speak of a growing global consensus over the principle of free exercise of religion. Yet, it is obvious that Christians and Jews, Hindus and Muslims may have very different cultural conceptions of what the free exercise of religion may entail. Usually, Christians understand this principle as an inalienable individual human right to freedom of conscience, to freedom of conversion, and to freedom to proselytize. This is the taken for granted cultural understanding of the term religious liberty by most people, religious as well as secular, in most Western societies. Jews and Hindus, by contrast, who share a cultural conception of their religion as natal, namely one into which one is born, have a very different understanding of the principle of free exercise as their right and duty to preserve their tradition, and have less appreciation for the right of conversion, that is, to be born again, or for the right to proselytize. Muslims have a deep appreciation for the fundamental right to exercise their own religion freely, without any external coercion, but so very little cultural understanding for the right to conversion away from Islam, which they view as grave apostasy from the true faith. Simplifying, one could say, once a Muslim, always a Muslim. Moreover, since according to Muslim doctrine, once upon a time, before the fall into ignorance, all humans were Muslim, conversion can only mean reversion to the true faith. Anything else can only mean renewed fall into ignorance and unbelief, that is, jahiliyyah. Take the Chinese cultural definition. The majority of Han Chinese in mainland China or throughout the Chinese diasporas, including the United States, when asked to identify their religion, usually choose the non-category. That means the majority of Chinese have no religious affiliation, do not belong to any religious denomination, and in this sense have no religion. But this does not mean that they may not be religious in their own ways. Indeed, on any given day, they may have offered prayers or practiced rituals of various religious traditions indiscriminately. They may have offered incense and showed reverence to their ancestors in their home altar, practiced Qigong exercises in an open public space, visit a Buddhist temple on the way to work, and participated in some Christian prayer after work. We are dealing here with very different phenomena, which we are classified under the same category of religion. It is an open empirical question, which should be the central focus of a global sociology of religion, how these three ongoing global processes of secularization, sacralization, and religious denominationalism are mutually interrelated in different civilizations. Sometimes symbiotically, as in religious nationalist fusion, when religion and nation come together, or in the religious defense of human rights, but often antagonistically, as in the violent conflicts between the sacred, secular, immanent norms of individual life and freedom of expression and transcendent theistic norms. What we are witnessing repeatedly on global media, in the global public sphere, are not so much conflicts between the religious and the secular, but rather confrontations over the sacred, over blasphemous and sacrilegious acts and speeches, and over the profanation of taboos. It is all part of the global struggle for universal particular human mutual recognition. From the Salman Rushdie affair to the Venice cartoons, from the destruction of Babri Masjid in Ayodhya, India, to suicide bombings, from the assassination of Theo van Gogh in Holland, to the confrontation between the German Pope and the German Chancellor over the papal lifting of the excommunication of a remote integralist and Holocaust denier, Bishop Richard Williamson. Those are all famous examples of global controversies in the global media. Salman Rushdie was the Indian British writer.
Salman Rushdie 是一个印度裔英籍的作家。
Who wrote the famous or infamous book, The Satanic Verses?
他写了一本非常有名的书, 叫做,
Satanic Verses.
好,
referring to the Quran.
那么他的是指的是那个可兰经,
which provoked a very violent reaction in the entire Muslim world as a profanation of something sacred, the Quran, and their religion,
and led to the fatwa
by Ayatollah Khomeini and other Ayatollahs to death penalty to Salman Rushdie, that it was all right for any Muslim to kill Salman Rushdie. And as a result, Salman Rushdie had for years to be hidden in secret, protected by the British police. Babri Masjid was the famous mosque in Ayodhya, India. That Indians, that Hindus claim was the birthplace of their god, I think Ganesha, I'm not sure, somebody, god Ganesha, I believe. Ganesha is the elephant god, I believe. I'm not sure.
Which god?
Okay. Oh, Shiva.
Okay.
Right. Right. And a mass of Hindus destroyed the temple. In order to build there a temple to the god Shiva. But the Indian police have not allowed, because they will know that if they do it, the Muslims will create again a Hindu-Muslim terrible conflict. Theo van Gogh was a Dutch writer, a prominent individual, the niece of the famous painter Vincent van Gogh. Who produced a film with another Muslim woman in which there is a lot of nudity, in which and in the bodies of nude females verses of the Quran are written.
同时也是一个制片家，他制作了一个穆斯林的女性合作的，在这个影片里边出现了很多女性裸体的镜头，那么是以穆斯是以可兰镜作为背景，两种影像重叠在一起。And
a Dutch Muslim assassinated him on the street, creating a big conflict in Holland.
所以穆斯林就在街道上，在街上公开的把他刺杀，杀得很惨，造成在当地一个很大的一个新闻事件。
Bishop Richard Williamson is a British Catholic who is a so-called traditionalist, fundamentalist Catholic, who are heretics who do not recognize the Second Vatican Council.
那么，这个 Richard Wilson, Williamson 这个主教，他是一个非常基要，他是一个非常的。
But he is best known or most infamous for denying that the Nazi Holocaust ever took place. He says that there is no evidence that there was a Nazi Holocaust. But to deny the Nazi Holocaust is a crime in Germany. So when the present Pope, who is a German, Ratzinger, Benedict the
15th,
invited Bishop Williamson to join again the Catholic Church, the German Chancellor Merkel protested vehemently against the Pope. So all these are examples of global conflicts over the sacred. What is sacred? To whom? There is a growing global trend of mutual recognition of cultures, but it is not happening smoothly without conflict. There is increasing awareness of the need, if we are going to live together peacefully and constructively in a shrinking and increasingly interdependent world for cultures to have a right to protect themselves from overly aggressive attempts to change them. This awareness allows a balance between the individual right of religious freedom with its accompanying right to proselytize and the communal right to preservation of one's culture. To be most effective, this balance calls for religious freedom advocacy that is contextually sensitive. The global controversies following the publication of the Danish cartoons, you know what this, you all know about the Danish cartoons, right? Cartoons of Muslims, which were perceived by many Muslims around the world either as a caricature of their religious tradition or as outright blasphemy, may serve as vivid illustration. Following the violent responses in much of the Muslim world, many European newspapers republished the same cartoons, both as an act of solidarity with the Danish people who were being boycotted across the Muslim world, and as an explicit affirmation of the modern, secular, sacred value of freedom of expression. This was the case, notwithstanding the fact that the same Danish newspaper had previously made the decision not to publish caricatures lampooning the resurrection of Christ, implying that the Danish viewers would not like, would be offended by such a caricature. But it was all right to put caricatures of Muslim sacred objects. In fact, no European newspaper would dare today, in the name of freedom of expression, of committing the blasphemous sacrilege of publishing anti-Semitic caricatures of the kind that had been common in the 1920s and in the 1930s. So anti-Semitic caricatures are not, it's not that they are prohibited, it's a self-censorship. It's not, they could do it, but they don't do it out of cultural sensitivity. But they can publish Muslim caricatures because to be anti-Muslim is all right. In the United States, by contrast, no newspaper chose to republish the Danish cartoons as a form of voluntary editorial self-restraint in the recognition of the need for mutual interreligious respect. Truly respectful religious freedom, the product of a creative tension and balance between individual religious freedom and communitarian religious pluralism, is becoming a universal aspiration and is transforming many of the religious traditions. It transformed Protestantism first, it has transformed Catholicism and Judaism, and it is transforming the other world religions, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism. But we should be aware of the fact that given different cultural conceptions of religious freedom, this process may take different forms in different contexts, and it may unfold over the course of several generations. What is at stake ultimately is the recognition of the irremediable plurality of all of universalisms and the multiplicity of modernities, that every universalism and every modernity is particularistic. One could say that we are moving from a condition of competing particularist universalism to a new condition of global denominational contextualism. Thank you very much.